Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one fiery page of Talmud each day. And in today's pages, Bava Metzia 67 and 68, we come across the following, which will knock your socks off. Have a listen. Rava, son of Rav Yosef, says in the name of Rava, with regard to this following type of mortgage, in which the lender holds part of the borrower's land and may consume its produce. The halacha depends on the local custom. In a place where the custom is that the borrower can repay the loan at any time and the court removes the lender from the lender may consume the produce of the land only with a deduction in the amount of the loan granted to the borrower, equivalent in value to that of the produce consumed by the lender. And a Torah scholar, who must be especially careful with regard to his conduct, may not consume the produce, even with a deduction in the amount of the loan. The Gemara poses a question, but if so, in what manner may he consume the produce? The Gemara answers, by a fixed payment, the details of which the Gemara will soon explain. I don't know about you, but I read this passage and felt that my head was spinning, felt like I so often do, that there was some kind of deep message hidden here, but I just couldn't find it. And what do I do when frustration strikes? I pick up the phone. I call our dear friend and teacher, Rabbi David Breshefkin. How are you, my friend?
Liel, what an absolute privilege and pleasure to be joining today. These are very technical and intricate discussions in the Talmud that have to do with permissible and prohibited forms of collecting interest. And in the passage that you just read, there is a form of interest where you are deducting the principal, which is called binachyasa, which is the way of deduction. And the Talmud says this is actually permitted, but rabbinic scholars should not do it. And there is a fascinating question that piqued my eye on this very page, because if you peek down a few lines later, and if you're looking in the Sefaria, you can look. This is Bava Metzia 67b. A few lines down to line number 12, the Talmud says explicitly that Ravina, one of the greatest Talmudic sages, actually did use this method of deduction, even though the passage that you just read just moments ago said rabbinic scholars should not conduct themselves that way, even though it is technically permissible. And Tosfos, on the spot, on our page, asks a brilliant question, an obvious question. It says, what's going on over here? Well, Ravina slacking off. Ravina all of a sudden decided that, you know what, I got to take a little bit of interest. I'm going to use this way too. Why was Ravina allowed to do this if the Talmud just a few lines earlier, said a tsurva merabanan, a rabbinic scholar, should not use this? And Tosfos says something that for me, at least, I find absolutely fascinating. That what Tosfos says is that Ravina actually, in this case, and I'll read it in Hebrew, and then, of course, I will translate. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says to resolve this contradiction, if you're a rabbinic scholar, you should not take interest in this form. And yet, we see Ravina doing it a few lines later. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam. How do we resolve this? De Ravina lo haya rotza litol hashem v'lasos atzmo tzurva me'rabana. Ravina did not feel worthy of calling himself by this title and to make himself and define himself by all of the stringencies kept by the Tzurva Me Rabbanan. This is so fascinating to me that Ravina basically opted out of the optics and the higher level of idealism that is normally attributed to rabbis. And I'm going to be honest with you, Liel, I don't know if this is going to interest any of our listeners, but this is something I often struggle with. I am not a rabbi of a synagogue. I am not a pulpit rabbi. I am an educator, but in many areas of my life, I sometimes wonder, do I need to set an example? Do I need to go above and beyond? And there are some days even where, you know what, it's a Sunday. I'm not in the mood to like be like the world's prime example. I don't want to do anything prohibited, but I'm not sure at every moment of my life I could hang on to every single ideal stringency that I could have. Sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, you just want to lounge out in shorts and a t-shirt in your backyard, even though that's not the normal way that your local synagogue rabbi is going to be like hanging out, just tanning in the front yard or relaxing. But what I see from this passage is you don't in every moment have to impose on yourself the expectations and intensity of the role that you are in. You always need to do the right thing, but you don't always have to. You're not always required to carry yourself in a way that's like the world's communal example and role model. Don't do anything wrong, but I actually find Ravina's example very humanizing of the inner rabbinic world. You ever see a rabbi at a grocery store and you're like, what are you doing here? And you know what? That's so harsh and unfair. There is a rabbinic world for the role models that we hold, that we also want to very much live normal, integrated lives. And I read this line from Tosos, De Ravina lo haya rotzel litol hashem velasos atzmo tzurva mirabanan. He didn't want to always call himself of this enlightened scholar, of this otherworldly role model, and carry himself as if he was of this category of tzurva mirabanan. And I think for all of us, no matter what role you occupy, there are times in our lives where we want to just be able to exhale. And while we can't, we certainly cannot violate clear prohibitions, but there are times in our lives where we can't always carry the expectations that others put upon us. And perhaps for some of us, definitely myself, I find a great deal of comfort of Ravina's hesitance of not wanting litol hashem to have this honorific always attaching him and always following him, whether it's in the supermarket or wherever he goes, and just to be one of the people.
All right, David Beshevkin, one of the people that you are. Thank you so much for being our guest.
My absolute pleasure.
This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butney, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.